1 John chapter 4 this evening. 1 John chapter 4. Tonight we're going to talk a little bit about God's love and how God's love empowers us. So 1 John chapter 4, looking at verses 9 through 13, very familiar set of verses, especially when you get to verse number 11, but we're going to talk about how the love of God empowers us. So 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 through 13, In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And that's the key, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Father, again, we ask that you would bless our time together tonight. Father, I know these are very familiar verses, but Lord, we ask that you would speak to our hearts anew and afresh. And Father, we would give our full attention to you. And Father, that we would listen intently to your soft, still voice as you speak to our hearts, as the Holy Spirit guides us, as he's been given to us, Lord, to not only comfort us, but to guide us through the scriptures, to teach us, to bring to remembrance the things that we need to remember, to learn what we need to learn, and to see how to apply the truth of your word to our life. Father, I ask that you would please bless the children and Kid Venture as always, Lord, opening up their hearts and minds to the Bible lesson, helping them to have fun with the crafts, the games that they will partake in. But Father, the most important thing is having the word of God, Father, be deeply rooted in their hearts to bring forth the Lord's salvation in their life at the appointed time when they understand it fully, and then to continue learning that Jesus is the greatest friend that they can rely upon throughout their entire life. And Lord, would you help us as adults and even as young people and teenagers to continue remembering that Jesus is the greatest friend we can have. He's always there to lean upon. He's always there, Lord, to get true counsel, to get wisdom from, and to be led by him. So, Father, thank you for all that you do for us. We ask that you bless our time, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Again, being empowered by God's love, I want you to look at verse number 8 to start with, because verse number 8 says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. He that loveth not knoweth not God. There would be many that say, well, I love, I know how to love, but obviously, John, writing to believers and being inspired by the Holy Spirit and the things that he writes, God, speaking through him, lets us know that he is talking about those that have the Spirit of God in them. Because people do love. I mean, Jesus even brought up the fact that, you know, even a lost father, if his son asked for bread, would give him what he needs and not give him like a scorpion or something else that would harm him, all right? And Jesus even went on to say the lost know how to love their own, but it's the love of God that empowers us that we can fulfill the will of the Father, that we can have that proper love that is a forgiving love, a sacrificial love, a going out of your way love. I mean, it's a love that is centered around Christ being our example, and it is God's love in our life that empowers us to be able to forgive, to be able to serve, to be able to even overlook sometimes what people do to us or say about us, because it's God's love in us that helps us to overcome what others may say or do. Look real quick at 1 Corinthians 13, because I was looking at this chapter again earlier, and it's considered a love chapter. It talks about charity, and charity being that unconditional, that sacrificial love that God wants all of his children to exhibit in their life towards one another and towards those that are without. And Paul, as Paul writes to the church at Corinth, he lets them know what true love is. Because he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. We can say all the right things, all right, but there needs to be that Christ-like love behind what we say. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. I mean, I can have the greatest faith that, you know what, I have mountain-moving faith because my faith is in the Lord, but then I don't have any charity towards somebody else. Charity suffereth long, is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Because the church at Corinth, the believers there, they were more into speaking in tongues. They were more into them own selves being lifted up instead of truly loving their neighbor and loving one another. So Paul writes this chapter to let them know what true love is. He goes on to say, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. And that is that Christ-like love, that sacrificial love. Now you go back to 1 John chapter 4, again in verse 8, he says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. True love, that is God's love, empowers our life. It empowers us, again, to be able to be loving, compassionate, considerate to others, to have that mindset that we will not allow ourselves to be offended by anything or anybody. Being empowered by God's love is the greatest thing that you and I can have in our life. And I want us to see a couple of things this evening, just the manifestation of God's love in verse number 9. All right, because again, we live in a world that really is not a loving world. People are all for themselves. But the true Christian, the true Bible believer, should have their life empowered by God's love, always looking after the welfare of somebody else, not allowing the world to dictate what love is, but to exemplify and to show the true meaning of love through our life because we have the love of God in us. In verse number 9, again, the manifestation of love. It in this was manifested the love of God toward us because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. We understand that God manifested his love through Jesus Christ, and you and I know that God loves us because Jesus Christ was willing to leave the throne of glory to live life as you and I live it, being robed in flesh for the time that he was walking on this earth to live that sinless life, though tempted in all points like as we are, yet he always loved, he always showed grace to people. Sometimes somebody might say, yeah, but what about when he got real angry in the temple there and made a whip and chased all the money changers out? You realize he even did that in love. Sometimes love can hurt in a way because God chastens those that he loves. Now, he didn't destroy them, but he let them know that, you know what? You are making a den of thieves in my father's house. You are taking advantage of people. You are causing God's people not to come with a willing heart to worship God because they were making merchandise of the people by, you know, don't bring your own sacrifices, buy from us, all right? But again, the manifestation of love is the fact that Jesus Christ is the manifestation of God's love, and it is a personal love. It's a personal love. He manifested it to us individually. Now, he died for the sins of the whole world. He came because God loved the world, but his love is manifested individually to each person. Look in verse 9 again. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. Now, if you were to skip down to verse 19, the same chapter, we love him because he first loved us. And you know that God loves you. You experience God's love every day. You feel God's love every day. And God has empowered us with that same love to share with others and also to be able to even have compassion on wanting to help somebody else see the love of God and how it can be beneficial in their life. Again, manifested simply means to make visible or known what has been hidden or unknown. There's no question. Does anybody have a question tonight whether or not God loves them? You shouldn't. Now, those in the world that have not met Jesus Christ, do not know him as their personal Savior yet, they wonder, all right, though they can, if they really were to examine their life, you know, the God who has given life continues to allow them to live, continues to allow them to experience his love and his grace every day. But as you think about yourself and the love of God in your life, it truly empowers you and empowers me to live a life that is sacrificial and giving towards others. Look, if you would, again, in verse number 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world. And again, Jesus is the picture of God's sacrificial love. God did not hold the best back. You realize God gave his best when he sent his only begotten Son into this world that he created, knowing he would be mistreated and killed by sinful hands, knowing he would be given over into sinful hands and be mistreated and be killed, yet God still gave his best. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How good does somebody have to be in your life for them to experience the love of God through you or through me? How good do they have to be? Because God showed us his love while we were yet sinners. But God commendeth his love. He showed his love. He manifested his love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In Genesis 22:2, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. Now Abraham was empowered by God's love because Abraham had a relationship with God. He was known as the friend of God, and God blessed him. God said, you will have a son, and he's considered his only begotten son because Isaac was the promised son. And because of the love in Abraham's life for God, it empowered him to do what God asked him to do. That in his own self, relying upon his own self, his own strength, would not have been able to do what he did. Taking his son Isaac, going to Mount Moriah, putting his son on that altar, getting ready to take his son's life because that's what God told him to do. And it was God's love in Abraham's life that empowered him to obey by faith and to be willing to do what God asked him, believing, because he even testifies he knew God could raise him from the dead. God gave him, so he was going to give him back to God. And yet we know that God stopped him already having a sacrifice, a substitute with the ram. In Hebrews 11:17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Now think about this. The love of God truly does empower us to obey by faith, because you know that God would not ask you to do anything that he's not going to help you to accomplish. He doesn't ask you to do things because he hates you, but because he loves you and he wants to do more in your life. He wants your faith to grow and to be strengthened in him, trusting him. Abraham knew God loved him. Abraham knew God wasn't asking him for something out of spite or out of hatred, but he truly trusted him. And when you're empowered by God's love, you truly can, by faith, do all things through Christ. 1 John 3:16 says, Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Simply put, God's love empowers us to be able to sacrifice to other people, to be able to, you know what? If it's time that I need to sacrifice, then I'll give my time. If it's anything of my possessions that's going to help somebody, I will do that, because the love of God in my life that's been manifested in my life, how can I not share that love? By the things I do or by the things I say. The manifestation of God's love, it's a personal manifestation, personally manifested in your life through the relationship that you and I have with Jesus Christ. Again, Romans 8:32, he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Think about, are you willing to give God, and am I willing to give God anything he asked for? Or do we have limitations? God asked me anything, but in the back of our mind we're thinking, but don't ask me about that. Because sometimes we do that with people. We're like, what can I help you with? And they may need help with something. In fact, my pastor, back when I first started attending church in Wisconsin, had a missionary, if I remember correctly, was a missionary coming through, was not scheduled to be at our church, but he was passing through town, and the church had a parsonage. They had a missions apartment, and they would let, you know, missionaries, whether they were going to be, you know, presenting, you know, the mission field at our church or not, we would open it up to missionaries. And this particular missionary was passing through and had some car problems. He was driving an older car and just some car problems. And it had a mechanic in the church. He looked at it, and it just was going to just cost more than the car was worth to try to fix. The pastor had another car and gave this missionary his car. Not needing it back, not wanting it back, just signing it over to him. I'm saying, that was one thing that I loved about my pastor. I had two pastors in that church. The first pastor was just his love for people. I mean, it was like no holds bar. He held nothing back, whatever. And how he lavished me and my wife with his love. And just how, I mean, because you know what? When someone finds out, when someone gets real close to you and real personal, and they find out, even you find out more about somebody else, sometimes people tend to kind of, okay, that's, you know, I know a little bit more about you than I want to know, and you know what, I'll see you later. Because think about pastors. Now that I am one, you find out a lot about people. Sometimes people just start talking to you. Not necessarily just even church people, just strangers just striking up a conversation and telling you their whole life story, and I'm just trying to buy some milk, right? But that's just the way things are. Do you realize if a pastor does not have the love of God empowering them to overlook someone's lifestyle or even their past that they tell them about, then there's a problem? And we know that's a problem because a pastor is supposed to be Christ-like. Pastor is supposed to be like the Lord, loving no matter what they hear, no matter what they see. But that is the same for even just the child of God. Every born-again believer, every Christian. We cannot allow ourselves to be respecter of persons. And that's what the Bible teaches us. That's what the love of God teaches us. God was not a respecter of persons. He died for all. All nationalities, all races, all colored of skins. I mean, he died for every single person, and he loves every sinner. In 1 John 5:20, it says, "And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." God's love was manifested personally and eternally because we are in him. We have a relationship with the Lord because of his love. Look at verse 10 as we move on. Verse 10, I want you to see the mercy of love. You know, and again, God's love empowers us to be able to accomplish his will, and his will is for us to love one another. Verse number 10, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." God is the one that initiated this love relationship. "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us." Again, in 1 John 4:19, it says, "We love him because he first loved us." Aren't you glad that you experience God's love every day? But again, whatever God does in your life, he wants it to flow through you. That's why we're called vessels in the scripture. He pours into us so that he can pour out of us into other people's lives and into this world. That's why Jesus called us to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Everything God does in our life is to be manifested to those around us. We love to be loved by God. We love the mercy of God's love. We love having mercy in our life. God is the one that initiated this love, his mercy, his love shows us mercy because he loved so much, because he loved the world, he sent his Son to be the sacrifice. As John the Baptist said, the Lamb, God's Lamb. "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." In John 1:14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Just as we go through this, I want you to think, all right, and I'll keep saying it. The love of God empowers us to accomplish God's will. Think about what God has done. God is our example. He initiated the love. We didn't love him first. He loved us first, which drew us to him, all right, which drew us to him. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." You know what that tells me? Because of God's love, he went out of his way. Out of his way for people who weren't even seeking him. Out of his way for people who would even mistreat him. He went out of his way to show his love. Now, we'll go out of our way for those we love and those that we know will love us back. But what about those relatives? What about those friends that You know, you try to love them, you try to be kind to them, but they just don't receive it well. They don't reciprocate it. Well, Jesus being the example, he loved many that did not reciprocate that love. They just were taking advantage of him. Again, the Lord's not saying, you know, go out there and just let everyone take advantage of you, but not everybody will accept the love that you try to give them. But Jesus still went out of his way. The love of God empowers us to go out of our way, to go beyond what we normally would do. Look if you would, at 1 John chapter 2. Turn back a page and look at 1 John chapter 2. Again, when you think about the mercy of God's love, you think about the propitiation, you think about Jesus Christ. In verse number 2, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Think about that one person that God is wanting you to share his love with. Whether it's just befriending them, whether it's being nice to them, whether it's forgiving them, whatever it is. And the flesh is not wanting to do it. And our adversary is helping us to be reminded of what they did or what they said. But yet the Holy Spirit wants to remind us, Jesus died for that person. How would Jesus treat that person? And let me tell you, it's not easy in the flesh. That's why God's given us of his Spirit. And that's why I said, even when I read these verses to begin with, in verse number 9, that we might live through him. That we might live through Christ. And then even at the end of verse 13, because he hath given us of his Spirit. We can't properly do this without living through Christ and without yielding to the Spirit of God that resides within each of us, because one of the fruit of the Spirit is love. And it is a love that empowers us to accomplish God's will. In Romans chapter 3, the Bible says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God had set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. As believers, we rejoice in that. We rejoice in those verses. We rejoice in the fact that God is the justifier and that God has justified me as though I'd never committed those sins because I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And that's exactly how he wants us to see the person that he wants us to manifest his love to. That, you know what? He died for that person. It may be hard for me to get along with them, but you know what? I can through Christ, because it might just be the love of God being manifested in my life to them that draws them to Christ. Again, we do live in a world that is very selfish and self-centered, and God calls us to not be that way. And the only way that we are not that way and that we will have victory over being that way is yielding ourselves to God's love, yielding ourselves to the Spirit of God, and truly living through Christ. Look at verse 11. Because here's the mission of love. This is what God says in verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. We are to love others. Remember, Jesus was asked the question by the lawyer, which is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, thou shalt, or Jesus actually, you know, asked him, well, you tell me. But it came out, obviously, we're to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. The mission of God's love in our life is to be manifested to others. It is to be showed and shared with others, whether it's spouses, whether it's children, whether it's co-workers, whether it's church people, whether it's somebody you don't really get along with, whether it's someone that doesn't really get along with you, still, the mission of love is for us to allow Christ to do his work through us. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now, I know you're like me, and you believe that God knows every thought we have, and God sees everything we do. So he already knows the ones that in your mind you're like, there's no way I can love that person like Christ. Again, how do we love like Christ? It's forgiving. Live peaceably with all men as much as lieth within you. It really is yielding to the Spirit of God that resides within you to help you to truly love the way that Christ loves. To truly have that forgiveness. Because listen, if we don't have that love empowering us, we're missing out on many blessings that God wants to bestow upon us. There are blessings in following God's way. There are blessings in allowing his love to empower us to do things. And again, that's why his love empowers us, because there's no way I can do it. It has to be God in me, helping me to accomplish his will, because his mission is for us to be that example, for his love to be perfected in us, and for us to practice that love towards others. In John 15:13, Jesus said this, and this is why he is our example. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Now, Jesus ultimately did that, right? He ultimately laid down his life, physically laying down his life. You know what? Sometimes we have to crucify our affections. And what I mean by our affections is, you know what? My dislike, my hatred, any feelings that would be unchristlike towards somebody else. Allowing ourselves to be that living sacrifice. Because you know, sometimes it is like laying down your life for someone who has mistreated you or will mistreat you. But sometimes, as the Bible tells us, they're won over by love. There are some that are saved by fear, others by love. Why is it that suicide is so rampant these days, more so than ever? It's because those that commit suicide and try to commit it, they don't feel love. They don't feel like they can go to anybody. They feel like nobody cares. In other words, there are a whole host of other things that obviously, you know, helps to push someone to that decision. But the majority of the reason is because they don't feel loved. They have bought the lie. And it might just be our kind act towards someone that gets them thinking someone actually does care. One thing I don't want to happen when I stand before the Lord is for the Lord to say, "Why didn't you love that person that I showed you I wanted you to love?" I can't tell you how many times I've been done wrong, lied to, even to my face, just flat out, somebody, another Christian, against me. And it did take the Lord helping me to get over that and to truly forgive them, to where when I saw them and talked to them, I no longer had those resentments or those feelings of, you know, like James and John, the sons of thunder. You know, "Lord, you want me to call fire down upon them?" Because they did me wrong. They did me and my family wrong. You know what? Because you know what? If someone attacks your family or your children, what's the first thing a parent does, or a husband or a wife? You want to defend. But sometimes, if it's just words being said, God wants you to overlook that. And the only way possible is through His power, Him helping. Again, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. We can take that and say, okay, well, they're not my friends, so I don't have to. But again, who did Jesus lay down his life for? Not just those disciples, not just those that loved him and liked him and listened to him, but even the ones that were crucifying him to the cross, those that were nailing him to the cross, those that were spitting upon him, cursing his name, those that were just saying all kinds of nasty things, even the thief on the cross. Not once do you see in Scripture where Jesus condemns those thieves. But at some point, you know, the one thief's heart is turned to the Lord. I mean, just you read Scripture and both thieves that are hanging there, they're both railing on him. They're both, if you're the Son of God, you get us down from here. But at some point, the one thief's heart is softened and turned to the Lord and simply says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy paradise, when thou comest into thy kingdom. And he hears those words, today you'll be with me in paradise. What I'm saying is that the love we manifest, God uses in the lives of people. In the lives of people. And it might just be that God uses you to draw somebody to Christ for salvation. In verse number 12, he says, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. You already know the Bible says you cannot love God and hate your brother. And brother does not just mean your biological brother. It means you cannot love God and hate anybody else. That's why we need the power of God in our life, so we will love. No man has seen God at any time. But you love God, don't you? I haven't seen him, but I love him. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us and his love is perfected. He wants his love to be perfected in my life and your life as well. That word perfected just means to make perfect or complete, to bring to a purposed goal or an end result. And verse 13 is the goal. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us. Remember back in the book of John, Jesus talked about abiding in him and he abiding in us. He being the vine, we being the branches, we're here. John kind of uses that same analogy and says, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And his Spirit helps that fruit to be manifested and perfected in our life when we yield to it. We're able to have proper love with family members, with spouses. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that sacrificial love as Christ sacrificially loved. In John 13:35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And 1 Peter 1:22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. That is what God wants to be manifested in our life, is that pure heart of love. Fervently loving as Christ loves, allowing his love to empower us to truly look past someone's shortcomings. Again, I know a lot of people have been done wrong by spouses, by even children, by friends, by people in their life. But when we look to Jesus, because again, our goal is to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Not because we were sinless and perfect, but we kept, you know, pressing on, "Okay, Lord, help me to live out the words of Christ," because Jesus said that we are to follow his commands, we are to follow his teachings, and to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our life and to help us to be Christ-like in our thinking, in our actions, in our speech. And it does manifest the love of God, and it is the Holy Spirit that helps us to do that. Again, God wants his love to empower us to live a life that's glorifying to him. Is there somebody in your life that you think, "There's no way I can show them the love of God"? Then we have to ask God to help us to do that. Because again, my life is supposed to glorify him. Everything that I do is supposed to glorify him. That's the mindset. That's the mindset that God's people are supposed to have, doing everything heartily as unto the Lord, letting truly his love. Because again, we soak in his love, but he wants that love to shine out and be manifested towards others.